bulletin articles that communicate maybe a little bit more than needed. You know, we have a tendency to sometimes write things or say things or text things, and autocorrect sometimes gets us, or email correct gets us, and we look back and go, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Sorry. It corrected it. So this is one of those bulletin blunders. The outreach committee plans to call on 25 visitors who are not afflicted with any church instead of affiliated. You know, that's a little bit of a blunder, but I guess some people are afflicted. Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. You know, that's one of those things. The pastor would appreciate if the ladies of the congregation would lend him their electric girdles for the pancake breakfast next Sunday morning. Scandalous. Now, this one's kind of cute to me, and it's subtle, but a bean supper will be held on Tuesday evening in the church. Music will follow. A little shaky. Wednesday night potluck dinner. Prayer and medication to follow. A little better than meditation, but, you know, it's all good. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and hear the choir practice. I love that. And this is my favorite. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 o'clock p.m. on Thursday. Please use the large double doors at the side entrance. Thank you very much for making that statement, whether you wanted to or not. You know, it's amazing to me how many times we can say things in the wrong way. We might mention something the wrong way. I do it all the time, you know, from the pulpit. Every once in a while, I'll say something and everybody starts giggling. I'm like, what did I say? I obviously didn't say it the way I wanted to. And so that's really important. There's much power in our words, are there not? They have an ability to make a difference in somebody's life. They have an ability to encourage them, to inspire them, to help them through the day, or they can be very damaging. And it's important as we read Proverbs 12:18. I actually looked at four different translations, and I want to share all four of them with you because I want you to see the power of what Solomon is saying here. Careless words, New Century Version. This is the New Century Version. Careless words stab like a sword, but wise words bring healing. Now, the New International Version says the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. And then the Message says rash language cuts and maims, but there's healing in the words of the wise. And then my favorite is the way the Living Bible says it. Some people like to make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise actually soothe and heal. We have an option. You know, it's not just the words that we use, it's how we say those words at times. You can say some of the nicest things with the wrong kind of attitude, or maybe sarcasm, or sometimes it's just in the heat of the moment. And so angry words or words spoken without thought are really important for us to think about. So the how is important. Look at James chapter 1, verse 26. This is such a strong verse in Scripture. If you claim to be religious, you know, I'm a religious guy. If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. The reason for that is very similar to what we talked about this morning. Sometimes you can talk a good fight, you can say some things that you think are important, and you can say all you want to say, but the reality is when your works or your tongue prove something different exists from the inside out, your religion's worthless to other folks. Later in chapter 3, James says this, "Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be," there's my word, teleos, "we'd be perfect. We'd be growing like Jesus, to look like Him, to sound like Him. We would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way." That is pretty impressive. So he says, hey, look, if you guys want to figure some things out in your Christian walk, as you're growing, as you're perfecting, as you're adding to your faith, you've got all of these incredible things to pay attention to. But James is saying to us, hey, let me tell you something. You want to start somewhere? Start with your tongue. He goes on in chapter 3 and said, it's kind of like a bridle, a bit in a horse's mouth. You have this big, humongous horse. Yeah, you can steer him left and steer him right and get him to stop with just because of that small little bit. He goes on and uses another analogy. He says it's like a rudder. You know, there's this huge ship and you steer that rudder and it guides you in which direction you want to go. Very, very part of our culture right now. It's like a tiny little spark that causes a forest fire. We've got a lot of fires going on in a lot of different places, burning hundreds of thousands of acres. It just started with a little spark. Now, sometimes it's a lightning bolt or something else, but very, very many times some of the fires start from a cigarette thrown carelessly out of a car window. But it causes this incredible thing. And this is what James is saying. Words are powerful. We can tame animals, but not the tongue. So how can we become, this is a great question, how can we become more teleos? How can we become more perfect? How can we continue to grow in our faith and help others to understand who God is in our spiritual maturity? It's rooted in the tongue, but it's really rooted in the heart, is it not? I mean, it has its action, so to speak. I mean, the focal point, if you were going to magnify it, you could look at it and say, well, it comes out as a tongue, but it's really the heart. Turn to Matthew 20, verses 12, verses 33 through 37. Kelly started to use this verse in class, and I said, nope, not happening. Nope. You're not allowed to go there today. So you can't talk about a verse in Bible class and the sermon at the same time. It's against the law. So Matthew 12, 33 through 37. While you turn there, while you're getting there, context is really important. And I want us to understand this context because I think it teaches us even more in regards to what Jesus is saying here. If you'll remember, Jesus has just healed a man who is possessed by a demon. So a demon-possessed man is healed. The Pharisees say, well, the only reason you could do that is because you're from Beelzebub yourself. You're from Satan. You have the power of Satan. You have the power of the evilness because that's the only way you could cast out this demon. And Jesus is like, oh, you know, you're taken away from the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's in this context where he says the unpardonable, the unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But it's in the context of, hey, you're taking away from the power of the Spirit, and you're saying that Satan has that power, or that I'm Satan himself, and that I have the power because of that. And he says onward, he says, you know what? The reason you speak the way you do, the reason you're saying what you're saying today, is because what comes from your mouth comes from your heart. And it's a reflection of where you are as religious leaders. It's a reflection of who you are as a people. And so he puts it on them pretty hard and heavy. So let's read Matthew 12, 33 through 37. He says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree's good, its fruit will be good. If a tree's bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. I mean, that is power right there. That is strength. Again, he's talking to the Pharisees, but there's plenty for us to understand this morning because we will be responsible for our words. According to Scripture, three-point sermon this morning, our speech identifies us. Point number one, our speech identifies us. If you've got a note card, you'll see those are all three at the bottom. You don't have to look for them. I wanted you to really pay attention to these. Verse 33 says again, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Question this morning, if you see an apple hanging on a tree, what kind of tree is it?
Apple.
It's an apple tree. It's not hard. It's 1 + 1 = 2. This is pretty simple math. If I see a lemon hanging on a tree, what kind of tree is it? It's a lemon tree. Teenagers, this morning, if I see money hanging on a tree, what kind of a tree is it? Huh? It's dad, right? You've heard that your whole life. That tree does not exist because money does not grow on trees. So we're just going to throw that in there just as a bonus for you parents. So if I see a cherry on a tree, what kind of tree is it? It's a cherry tree. So we understand it's the most basic concept in the world. When I see a tree is recognized and identified by its fruit. Simple. Simple process. So let me ask you this. How does our speech identify us? How does our speech identify us? How do people recognize and identify us by our speech? As an encourager, someone who builds up, someone who is representing Jesus, someone who is positive, someone who is inspiring. Is that how people recognize our speech. Or we gossipers, or those who spread rumors, or liars, or whiners, or complainers, or those who are negative. It identifies us, right? That's what Jesus is saying to these men who are saying what they're saying to him in Matthew chapter 12. Whether you like it or not, whether you realize it or not, folks identify us by our speech. Now, we just got from the Nath. We just came from New York. I can't do that accent very good. But I can do a British accent. It's not hard at all. You know, when somebody hears me do this, they go, "Oh, where are you from?" Very seldom do they go, "Are you from Australia?" You know, which is funny because the accents are almost identical. But they go, "Oh, where are you from? Are you from England?" Or if I can get my throat to do it right. You know, Scottish accent's a little bit harder to do. You got to get in the box of your throat to do that one. You know? So, but when you hear that accent, when you hear it, you go, "Oh, where are you from?" You're not from around here, because it's obvious you speak different than everyone else. I think it's really important for us to realize that we need to have a Jesus accent. What does that sound like? Different from the world. In fact, when people hear our Jesus accent, they're going to recognize that we belong to a totally different country. It involves a totally different world, because we speak differently. And we understand things differently, and we inspire differently, and we encourage differently. We say things differently because we come from a different place. So point number one is our speech identifies us. Point number two is our speech reveals our heart, because it pours out of our heart. Again, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks," verse 34 and 35. "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." Again, I love simplicity. Just a simple kind of person, you know. I like simplicity. And so he simply says, look, you know, what you say comes out of here. And if what's coming out of here is not very good, you need to start right here as far as fixing it. And this is not a, you know, "Ooh, you need to fix that." It's more along the lines of, where do I need to start so that I can let God's glory shine, so that people see my good works and recognize those aren't your good works, as we talked about in class. Those are God's good works. I'm going to give glory to God in every scenario right there. So if we claim to be a follower of Christ, but we lie, then we need to reexamine how we're following Christ, because Jesus wasn't a liar. So if we claim to be a follower of Christ and spread rumors, or we have a tendency to, you know, whisper and tell people things that they, you know, need to know, we need to reevaluate what we're trying to do, because obviously Jesus didn't spread rumors. So he wasn't a liar. He wasn't a rumor spreader. If we're rude to those around us, you know, if we're rude to those around, we need to look at our hearts again and say, okay, Jesus wasn't rude. So I need to reevaluate where I am in my Christianity, and that's a good thing, because it means that we need to continue walking and growing and maturing and reach this teleos, right? This word teleos means to be perfected. If we fill our language with four-letter words, if we tell vulgar jokes, you know, I love telling jokes. There's a bajillion jokes out there. They don't have to be dirty. You know, one of my friends started telling me a dirty joke. I was like, "Hey, I don't need that one. Let me tell you one." And they're like, "Oh, no, here he goes." And I started telling jokes, you know, just one after the other. And, you know, I said I wasn't going to do it, but you passed out those palm leaves. And I remember reading a joke not very long ago about this family comes home. That the little boy Johnny is stuck at home. He's sick that morning. And so the family comes home, and they've all got palm leaves. And he's like, "Where'd you get the palm leaves from?" And they said, "Well, you know, the palm leaves, you know, you know the story. Jesus shows up and we wave the palm leaves." And the little boy goes, "The one Sunday I miss, and Jesus finally shows up," you know, kind of missing the concept. But you know, it's an important part of what we do and how we say. It's not just four letter words either. There's other aspects of our language and what we say. One comedian used to always say, "Do you kiss your mama with that mouth?" kind of a thing. James 3, again, James 3 says this, and thank you, Daryl, for reading it. "For no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father. Sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right." I mean, that's a facetious kind of thing for him to say. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives? Does a grapevine produce figs? No, you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So we continue to work on our words. You know, is it possible to tame? It's difficult. And so we've got to be really careful with how we do what we do and say what we say. I've been working on you know, my words. I'm not saying I've perfected it, because I certainly have not. But there's times when I feel like I'm a total moron. Because I know what I want to say, but I'm working on what I want to say. And I know that that's probably not the right thing to say. And so I don't answer for a while. Sometimes Karen goes, did you not hear the question I asked you? And I'm like, I'm just being really careful. Guys, it's kind of like this question, you know. Hey, does this dress make my hips look fat? Do not answer that question. You better be smart. You know, you better think that question through before you answer that question. There's times when you just, and so she's looking at me and I'm like, I'm trying to find the right answer. And I think right now I plead the fifth. No words are coming out of my lips. I'm going to go mow the yard. So a preacher was working on a fence. He was building this little fence. He was trying to keep the dogs out of his petunias. He's in the front yard. He's working away. And the little boy next door is kind of peering from behind a tree and watching him build the fence. And it's okay. I mean, he's working away. But he stays there and stays there. And he's thinking, what does this little boy want? Why does he keep watching me build the fence? So finally he says, hey, are you trying to learn how to build the fence? He goes, no. My mama sent me over here to see what would happen when you hit your thumb with a hammer and what you would say. She wanted to know what a preacher says when you hit your hammer or hit your thumb with a hammer. And my brain automatically goes, what would you say? Why does it matter what a preacher says? Because isn't it what does a child of God say? Oh, well, we hold you to a higher standard. Well, that's okay. God does that too. But the reality is, what do we say when we hit our thumb with a hammer? What's a, you know, ouch. Hopefully we go, ha! You know, we come up with a solution. And there's times when we've come up with other words instead of those four-letter words. But the reality is, if we work on it hard enough, which this is what you should do, Cameron, when you got home today. In fact, Tiffin, if you want to have some fun, you hit his thumb with a hammer. It'd be way more fun. And you just practice what you're going to say, right? You just practice that. So go home today and be like, this is for basket. And see where your brain goes. And you can practice it. But it is amazing how when we start thinking about what we want to really accomplish with our hearts and with our words, we can do a lot of amazing things. It's more and more difficult in a world where vulgarity is heard constantly. You just hear it and hear it, even when you don't want to hear it, even when you don't want to see it, you know, it shows up. So think of it this way. Our speech identifies us. Our speech reveals our heart. And then point number three, our speech is going to be judged. It will be judged. I tell you that man will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they've spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, by your words you will be condemned. So go back to the context of Matthew chapter 12 for a second, because I want us to understand this concept. Because sometimes we can look at passages in Scripture and feel really good and go, I've never done that one. You know, I'm doing really well. So in Matthew chapter 12, you have these Pharisees who turn around and say, it's because of Satan. It's because you're associated with the devil that you can speak the way you do. And he says, no. It's what comes out of your heart. And that's the context. The problem, though, here's the evidence of the Pharisees' words. The problem of the Pharisees' words are this. When he speaks in this passage, he says, your words are coming from a heart that's not focused on God. In fact, what Jesus is really saying to them is, your words are pushing people further away from Jesus, from me. I mean, you're either drawing people toward Jesus with your words, or you're pushing them further away. Now, I don't know about you guys, that passage fits me to perfection. Now, I can feel real good about not blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But really, the reality of this passage, the context of the passage is, you know what? You're causing people to not believe in me. You're causing people to not believe in the Holy Spirit. You're causing people to not believe in God. And those words I will condemn, Jesus says. So that puts a lot more power in that passage, because my words are supposed to be drawing people to Jesus, my thoughts, my heart. And that's extremely important. So if our words are not what they should be, what do I need to do? You got to have the application of a power of this kind of passage. Another great piece of advice from our wisdom guy, James, says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. It's great wisdom. But see, I'm going to take it a little bit further, because it seems to me that we need to watch our words before they come out. But the words are coming out of this particular organ, and that's where I really need to work on things. So I'm going to give you an acronym. THINK. THINK. T. Is it true? Is it true? Before I say what I'm going to say. Now, we do that with emails, don't we? Sometimes we reread something really cool, and we're like, oh, so cool, and we forward it to everybody we know. And then, oh, maybe I should have looked at it and see if it was actually true. And you look at them and go, ah, it's not true. Then you got to send the email back out. And, of course, then somebody else has sent it, and all of a sudden, you know, all this goes out. And finally, you realize, oh, I need to do a better job checking what I do with an email. But even more so, what about what I say with my mouth itself? Is it true? So that's this is a great acronym. Is it true? Number two, is it helpful? You know, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it doing anybody any good for me to say what I need to say? If not, I probably don't need to say it. I can keep those words to myself. I can keep some information to myself if it's not helpful. How about this? Is it inspiring? THI. Is it inspiring? Does it inspire others, or is it gonna hurt them? Which the next one, N, is kind of like with helpful, but is it necessary? Is it necessary to say? Is it doing anybody any good? Is it going to encourage them? Is it going to strengthen them? Is it just because I feel good about knowing something that somebody else doesn't know? Is it a selfish response? I don't know. I need to ask. So I'm going to think before I say what I say. So is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Is it kind? Because Jesus was kind. And love is kind, and love is patient, and love is joyful, and love doesn't boast. And we have all of those things. But is it kind? I need to be careful, because just shutting my mouth is not the best solution. I need to think first. And you know, the Jews always equated the brain with the heart and the heart with the brain. And so it's interesting to me that when we talk about repentance, we oftentimes say, well, I need to say I'm sorry. But that's really, again, I keep reiterating that over and over again. It's not what it means. It means I need to think differently. I need to have a new brain, so that gives me a new heart, and I can act like Jesus. Here's kind of what I look at this as an analogy. I'm just an analogy kind of person. If I'm running up and down the stairs, or just going up the stairs, and I'm breathing hard, huffing and puffing, you know, blowing your house down. If I'm huffing and I'm puffing, and my pulse is racing, and my heart is hurting, you know, I'm getting pains in my chest, then my automatic response is, I need to get some Nike running shoes. That is really going to help the problem here. Because, you know, I'm huffing and puffing and struggling, right? Isn't that the, right, Dana? If you're running your 5K, it's got to be the shoes. Can't be the body. No, if my heart is racing, if my pulse is racing, if my heart is hurting and my chest is about to explode and I can't breathe, I would think that I need to go to a doctor, go to a physician to check out my heart. And so, isn't it amazing that Jesus says to us, hey, when you're struggling with something spiritually, you should go to the great physician. Don't slap a Band-Aid on it. Don't say, oh, I need to work on my mouth. You know, I know one way I won't ever sin with my mouth. I'll just put a big piece of tape over it, or I'll yank my tongue out. I can tame my tongue in that way. That doesn't accomplish anything. That's like putting shoes on a heart problem. It just doesn't accomplish it. So we need to work on our heart. And we've been talking about this same thing weeks and weeks and weeks, about this process of growth and walking in the light as He is in the light and becoming more like Jesus. And this is a process. You may be here in your process, and I may be there, or you know, Michael may be here, and Cameron's here, or wherever we are, we're in this process of growth. And that's so very important, because every one of us can improve on where we are. And that's what it means to reach perfection. Because this word teleos is really not, you know, it's not a location as so much as it is, it's the process of getting to the location. And so that's so important for us to walk in the light as He is in the light. So if our words aren't Christ's words, we need to realize the importance of forgiveness. that he forgives us. And he says, hey, I need you to repent. I don't need you to report your words. I don't need you to report your heart. I need you to change it. And just become more like me each day. And we can look to Jesus as he recreates us and he gives us his heart. Because again, our mouth is simply a reflection of our heart. Isn't that great we serve a forgiving God? A God that continually allows us to grow and who takes us right where we are and says, hey, I'm not satisfied with you right there. I just want you to continue to grow and look like Jesus. And if you'll continue to do that, I don't know where you're at compared to where I'm at, but that's why we do life together here, right? We don't judge each other for where we are. We simply say, hey, I want to help you get to where you want to be because I want you to help me get to where I need to be. And that's part of this incredible thing we call life. And I'm so excited to be a part of it with you guys here because we do. We love each other enough to say, hey, you need to fix that. And I need to fix that. And I need to get rid of certain things that I say. And I work on it all the time. You know, it's funny because Kelly and I talked about this one time. I think Jim and I even talked about this. Sometimes we get in the habit of saying certain things. And I used to have certain things that I would say. And I work on it. Now, when I come in here and I practice to preach, I'm trying to quit saying the word right. You know, I'll say something, right? And I go, that hard every time. I have not said right in a while. I'm kind of getting tired of slapping myself. But isn't that what we can? I just don't want to say that. I used to say, you know, and that drove me crazy. I almost got rid of, you know, we want to pause, you know, and I pay attention to other people when they say it, and I want to go slap them. It'd be a whole lot more fun of a game if I could do that. It's like, so if you say, it's coming, all right? See, I just did it, right? I don't want to do that. We can practice our words. We can think through our words. We can think of the absolute perfect words. We have brains, and I hope this acronym has helped you today. Again, we serve a forgiving God. He says, I'll heal you, and I'll help you always.